In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear these familiar words from the Gospel according to Luke. Mary gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Christmas is all about packaging. Who among us who was in church on December 1st, Advent 1, were not deeply moved to watch our young children gathered around Jan Weir at the chancel steps? Jan had placed brightly decorated packages around the chancel steps and invited the children to guess what might be in them. Oh, the excitement when they were asked to open them. Eager hands pull off the light, bright wrapping paper to open the boxes that reveal words that symbolize Christmas. Peace, joy, love, generosity. Jan asked the children how these Christmas gifts from God could be found in their lives. Their answers were precious. For the word love, one child said she felt loved when someone told her she is loved. The power of kind words. For the word joy, several said they felt joyful when they can play. For the word generosity, one child said that when she gave another child a place ahead of her while waiting in line. For peace, one child said she felt peaceful in her family room, another when she was in her closet. How inspiring and reassuring to know that these great words, love, joy, peace, and generosity, are being unwrapped and made real in the lives of our children. This is Christmas, unwrapping God's great gift of Jesus. On Tuesday, Christmas Eve, we will once again unwrap the familiar story of Jesus' birth as our children uniquely portray Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, and the wise men. Even if they do not fully understand, children will bring meaning to the parts of they play. Ken Robinson, who gave a TED talk seen 20 million times on the creativity of children, shared this story about his son in a nativity pageant. His son played the part of Joseph and thus had no speaking part. But his son had three friends who did get speaking parts as the wise men. Two remembered their lines, but the third had to improvise. The first said proudly, "I bring you gold." The second grandly said, "I bring you myrrh." The third, forgetting the name of his gift, said simply, "Frank sent me." Ah, the gift of children's spontaneous creativity. Christmas is all about unwrapping the gifts. For over 2,000 years, we have been trying to unwrap this gift that God gave us in swaddling clothes. Let us look again at this gift package from God and seek to unwrap its meaning. God's gift of Jesus to us, first of all, is intensely personal. God packaged himself in Jesus. When we look at Jesus, we see God himself. The Gospel of John rightly calls Jesus the Word of God. When God wanted to speak to us in terms we could fully understand, he sent Jesus into the world. Some of the words we use often in life, most of us would like to see disappear. Marist College did a poll to discover which words our human ears hear and we wish we did not. High on that list of words was Obamacare, gridlock, and government shutdown. There's one word that has emerged at the top of that list for 5 years running that people just do not want to hear anymore. Surprising to me, it is not the F-bomb word. It is the word whatever. The word whatever is dismissive. It is rude. It is put down. Can you imagine a child expressing a heartfelt hurt to a parent and having that parent turn away with a flip, whatever? Would you return to a doctor who, after seeing you, hearing your symptoms, dismissed you with the attitude that said, whatever, be sure to stop by the desk on your way out? How would we feel if God of this universe, after hearing our prayers, would respond, whatever? Words are gifts. Words have power. And when we unwrap Jesus, we not only hear the word of God from his lips, we see the word of God in his life. Jesus' life is an exquisite sign language for the human race that often does not hear and understand very well. Perhaps many of you saw this. 5-year-old Claire Coach, a kindergartner, has parents that are both deaf. Her kindergarten class was singing Christmas carols with her parents in the audience. Her parents could not hear the music or the words. So little 5-year-old Claire hand-signed the words to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Jingle Bells for them as she sang with her classmates. That video moved many people deeply, and it went viral on YouTube. This is Christmas. A little child finding a way to communicate to those of us who need to hear. Secondly, in unwrapping this gift of God, the second thing we notice is its utter vulnerability. What a chance God took. Infant mortality was high in those days. Around the corner was King Herod, who was bent on killing anyone who might challenge his throne. Upon hearing of this newborn king, Herod decreed that every child 2 years and younger should be killed. While this fact is historically disputed, it is unfitting of Herod's character. We hate vulnerability. We gravitate to power. Our culture is infused with concepts of power. Power lunches, power grids, power naps, power conferences, power couples, leveraging power. Weight Watchers even has a list of power foods. It is not comfortable being vulnerable and feeling powerless. It is scary. And we will do whatever we can to avoid being or appearing vulnerable. Diana Butler Bass, in her book, Christianity After Religion, tells of she and her husband driving down a busy Washington, D.C. street on one Memorial Day. Every Memorial Day, thousands of motorcycles descend on Washington for an event called Rolling Thunder. While they were stopped at a light, a biker came up in the lane next to them. These are her words. Sitting on an impressive Harley-Davidson bike sporting a pair of American flags, he was wearing a black t-shirt with many tattoos visible on his arms and neck. An attractive woman in shorts sat behind him, her arms circling his waist in intimate fashion. The man was smoking a very large, very fat cigar. I glanced up at my husband and laughed. Well, that's one impressive display of testosterone, isn't it? We hate being vulnerable or seen as vulnerable. We will use any means to suggest power and strength to mask our feelings of being vulnerable. We will use our clothing, our possessions, and even our speech to portray self-sufficiency to others. Here is the bedrock truth. Each of us is vulnerable. It is a condition of living. Jesus had no fully staffed delivery room with the latest technologies for birthing present. He amassed no army or secret service to protect him as he engaged the people of his time. He even chastised those who sought to protect him using violence. We mistakenly believe that because we are vulnerable, we are powerless. The opposite is true. Our greatest power as human beings is our vulnerability, our openness to each other. God staked everything on Jesus and his ability to remain open to the people and circumstances he encountered in this world. His words and actions were of a whole cloth, remaining open to everyone he met, even his enemies. Sally Cohn has given a talk entitled Political Correctness versus Emotional Correctness. Her theme is that the path to understanding is through empathy. Empathy begins with the ability to focus on the other person's thoughts and feelings. She passionately believes that before we can achieve political correctness, we must first establish emotional correctness. Having made a terrific impact on Fox, her hometown of Allentown recently established Sally Cohn Day in honor of her courageous work. This is a glimpse of Christmas, that we human beings are beginning to understand and live the essence of that first Christmas gift, that vulnerability is not a lack of power, it is our greatest strength. And peace on earth and goodwill toward men cannot happen without it. Thirdly, in unwrapping this gift from God, the third thing we notice is its purpose. Christmas is all about connection. One of the first names given to just Jesus of Nazareth, you heard read in the gospel a few moments ago, was Emmanuel, which means God is with us. There can be no mistaking God's intention. He wants to be in relationship with us. And by extension, he intends that we be in relationship with each other. This Christmas gift is not Duck Dynasty Christianity, where it is believed that God loves some, but not all of us. It is our crude divisions and judgments that prevent our relationships with each other. We seem to have a deep-seated need to exclude others and place limits on God's ability to love each one of us, warts and all. If ever a person had reason to carry a grudge, it would be Nelson Mandela. He was imprisoned for 27 years for challenging white-only rule in South Africa. After becoming the first black president, he ushered in a multiracial state and rejected violence against whites for the past evils of apartheid. He included F.W. de Klerk in his government. It was he who said to all of us, holding resentment is like drinking poison and thinking the other person is going to be harmed. Speaking to his countrymen, he also said, the truth is that we are not yet free. We have merely achieved the freedom to be free, the right not to be oppressed. Christmas is all about establishing relationships and reestablishing those that are broken. God gave us the power and the example of how to do that by sending Jesus to be among us. So once again this year, we're unwrapping our Christmas gifts. The beginning of life, of Jesus' life, we see the beginning of how God intends that we shall live our lives. The package and gift of Jesus are one and the same. How should we respond? At the beginning of the Christmas season in 2010, the Philadelphia Opera Company unexpectedly performed a portion of Handel's Messiah at a Macy's department store. 600 singers mingled with the people there, the shoppers, anonymously. And at a specified time, the singers began a rousing rendition of the Hallelujah Chorus. With no clear division between performer and audience, regular shoppers joined the chorus, turning the department store into a massive stage of song and celebration. People were stunned, laughing, crying, raising hands in ecstasy, teaching their children the lyrics, or standing reverently nearby, just to listen. What happened at Macy's was a random act of joyous human fellowship. This is our deepest longing, the deepest longing of our hearts, to be in joyous fellowship with God and with each other.